And he's the one that we're going to be taking a look at today in this scripture here. And the sermon is called really getting ready for school with Jesus. Today is the official day that we are beginning the life prep groups in our church, which used to be called Sunday school classes for the Chinese congregation. It's known as the Sunday school classes, but actually it's been going on in different forms, maybe in a different format, maybe not as often, but it's been continuing on throughout the summer. Do you remember Jesus in the park? Right? Right? Jesus in the park and all the kids coming out and us praying for the weather to be good. And then it was, you know, and then even when it rained, there was an adjustment made and we were getting under a tent and everybody was still gathering together. And it showed a different aspect of how the kingdom of God works and how the body stays together and says, no problem. We could do something there, you know, and just coming alive like that through all those things. And then into the latter part of the summer and maybe having some time away or doing some other things and getting ready for school. What are some of the things that you do to get ready for school? Shout it out. What are some things? Buy clothes. What? School supplies. Yes. Anything else? Huh? Pray about it. Good. Okay, great. So these are all wonderful things that we do to get ready for school. And I just thought it would be good for us then, since we're in that kind of a frame of mind, to remember that we also get ready with Jesus teaching us, right? And what are the things then that the prayer is a big part of that, like Candy was saying. But there are things that we prepare for. And I just want to go through some of these thoughts with you. But first, I want to go back to the scripture that we have in the call to worship. Can we have that again? Is it possible to see that and share that again? Or if it's not too much trouble, if it is, I'll just read it. Actually, I can just read it. Don't worry about it. You have enough to do. Is that okay? Oh, Alfred's there. Okay. So we'll just. Right. So listen to these words again. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught. Interesting, right? The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Isn't that an amazing verse? Right? Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, someone who is taught. So teaching and school is something that is foundational to our faith in Jesus Christ and in God. Right? And this is from Isaiah, and he was foreshadowing, actually, as it goes along in this chapter, he's talking about Jesus. And Jesus hadn't come into the world at that time, but it was foretelling that time. But being taught, raise your hand if you're a teacher. Who's a teacher here? Just raise your hand, you know, just in some way, if you were a teacher. Okay, great, right? So we have teachers here, right? So God has given us teachers, but it says here that God has given me the tongue of those who are taught. So the teachers are taught. Right? And so as people of God in the kingdom of God, we are taught. And so this is something that is helpful in preparing for going to school. Instead of thinking, oh no, I have to go back there again and I have to start that again, we're thinking, oh man, this is awesome because now I have a chance to be taught. Amen? I want to be taught. I want to receive. I want to know. I want to be enlightened. I want to know what I'm supposed to know so that I can be prepared for life. And that's what the Bible is doing here. But here, listen to the focus here, so that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Does that speak to you like it speaks to me in these times of pandemic? There's a lot of weariness. You're probably feeling weary. Are you feeling weary today? Well, good news for you that God is here and he wants you to be taught with a word to sustain you. Amen? To sustain you. That means to give you strength for your life. There I go again, raising my voice. I'm sorry. I promise you, I'm not gonna do it. No, it's okay. Last week when I was talking, every time I talk about John the Baptist, I start to scream. I don't know what it is, but I just, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, it's kind of the, you know, you read about a person doing those things and it kind of takes you over. But anyway, So the word of God is meant for those who are weary in our world, and that is why we are here, brothers and sisters, to bring the word to them. We are taught those words. We go out to the people, and then we say, I have a word for you so that you can be sustained with it, and you don't have to be weary. And that's where we begin with this whole thing, right? And it's all through scripture like that, morning by morning, every day. Every day, Psalm 145 was read today, right? We heard that by Chu and Patsy. It's talking about every day I will bless you, Lord. I bless you every day, not when it's good, not when it's going well, not only then, but when I get up every day. That is an important lesson to be taught from God. And that builds the character that we need to go into the world, right? One that is sustained in the word of God that says it may be a blue day for some people and it might be a blue day for me today, but I have Jesus. And therefore it is a day to sustain people with the word of God so that they don't have to be weary, so that I don't have to be weary. He awakens my ear in the morning. I wake up, but he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Being taught. Listening, being someone who listens is one of the foundational things that we teach for leadership. Are you teachable yourself? Not do you have a gift for teaching others. Are you yourself teachable? So the question is, are you teachable? Are you going in to your school and saying, I am going in today with a teachable attitude, to receive, to hear, to contribute, to support the teacher, to help them with my attention and show them that I love them and I'm there to take them seriously? That's the attitude of Christ. That's the attitude of God's word. We go into every situation saying, I want to be taught because I'm a child of God, and that's what he said it's all about. So that is the first rule when we come into this. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Can we say that together? Morning by morning, back. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. That would be my first thought in the morning when I go to school, if I were you. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. I am open to being taught because God told me to. And he loves me, so it must be good. What's the last part? The God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards. I was not rebellious. God spoke to me, and I didn't push him away. I received it. I turned not backwards. And the next scripture that comes up in Isaiah in this chapter talks about Jesus Christ, and it's a foreshadowing of Jesus and how he did not back away. And that's what we see in the scripture for today. Peter comes to him, and he's with the disciples, and he's being asked by Jesus, and Jesus is saying, who do people say that I am? And they're saying everybody but who he is, right? And he says to them, well, who do you say that I am? You remember? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the chosen one, you're the one that we've been waiting for. And Jesus doesn't say, yes, I am. He says, just don't tell anybody right now. This is not the time. I don't want other people to hear this. But it goes on from there, right? And what happens next, right? Peter is talking to Jesus, and he begins to teach them what? That he's going to suffer, that he's going to die, that he's going to be killed. Right? And so Peter is like, wait a minute. You can't do that. Are you out of your mind? You're supposed to save us here. You just told us that you're the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is chosen. For Peter and for the Jewish people of that time, the idea of a Messiah who would suffer and is going to be killed is just completely out of the picture. You just came here. You're going to give us meaning. What are you talking about? You just got here. You'd be doing all these miracles. And we love you, and we're really, you know, wanting to follow you and everything, but you can't possibly mean that you're going to suffer. We're not going to allow that. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes him. And he says, get behind me, Satan. Right? And that is a very good picture of all of us, right? We hear something for God. Oh, I can't. I'm not going to do that. Right? We have this kind of a sense of we can determine what God is going to be in our lives. Can't do it. Can't do it. He is who he is, and he's the redeemer of the world. He's the almighty God who created the world, and you and me. Right? And so we serve him. And then he goes and starts to talk about these wonderful things that are so life-changing. And I really think that these verses are crucial as we go into the new school year, not just for those who are going to school, but for everyone as we are in the school of Jesus Christ. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now you may think, well, that's not very practical. You know, Pastor, don't you have something a little bit easier? Don't you have some words that might be a little bit more comfortable for me? But this is the whole purpose. This is the whole foundation of our faith. This is what everything is built upon. We have to be understanding who Jesus is, and we need to listen to this just like the Bible is teaching us. And so we want to be attentive to what he's saying. If anyone would come after me, meaning follow me, right? Be in my kingdom, follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he goes on from there. For whoever would save his life will lose it. If you want to save your life, then you have to be willing to lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? So these are words to really meditate on as we go into this school year. I want to encourage you, if you're a parent and if you have children that are going to school, that you meet together as a family at least once a week to pray and read these verses. And read more of, you know, just one or two verses maybe from the Bible each day. We're going to get to more of that. But if you do that, your life will change. And your school life is going to increase in its success by 100%. Immediately. No guarantee, no question of a guarantee. It is guaranteed. Do you believe that? Do you believe those of us that are, you know, our kids are done or maybe we don't have children? Do you believe that for our own lives that we begin each day or we have a prayer with God, right, each week that our lives will be 100% better? You have to have that. That's what he's saying here. You have to be full in. You cannot say, I will do that part of the time. I will fit that into my schedule. I'm making my schedule and the school is telling me what I have to do. My kids are telling me what they want to do. All of these things are going to happen. Then I will bring the Bible and I will bring it out and pray and say, Lord, help me to be able to do these things. That's wrong. That's the wrong way to approach it. The best way to do it is say, Lord, I want you completely. You are my life. You are everything in life because you died for me and I have life now because of the forgiveness of my sins brought about by Jesus Christ on the cross, and he rose again to give me eternal life. Therefore, I have a future that is filled with glory. I have a future that is going to lead me to heaven, and I am going to be with God forever. It doesn't matter if I lose my life here on earth. And therefore, because of that fact, I am going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray and ask you what you want me to do this year. And then my life will flow from that. And I may have to give up some things and I may have to disappoint my children, but I'm going to know that I am on the right track with you. You. And I'm answerable to him. First, that is the foundational teaching of the Bible. And so that is why God wants us to look at this today. There will be much more fruit when we do. Much more. And don't be surprised if people see that your decision to do that is bringing about fruit in your life, and they want to know how. That is the way that we go against society, and that is how society will transform, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power in people who are standing up for Jesus and saying, I know it's really hard, and I know what you want, but God says that I should do this instead. And when that happens, the power of God is at work in our society, and they begin to see that it's better that way. And that is the way transformation comes. That is the way the church happened. It was a reaction to the people that went out with the gospel of Jesus Christ and began to preach about God who loved them and died for them, rose again from the dead, and they started to see the power in it. That it wasn't just a fake story or some kind of a religion or some idea or a concept. It was a reality of seeing that Jesus Christ meant more to those people than their very lives, and they were willing to go and be eaten by lions for it. Are we ready to be eaten by lions for our faith in Jesus? That is the question. We think all the time, oh, back then they fed the Christians to lions. You know, that was a story back then. We can learn about that. But the idea of then applying it to today and saying we may not be fed to lions, but something else could happen to us needs to be in our minds. If we don't, then we are in the world. We have bought into the world. We've thought the Bible is something that taught something from a long time ago, and that was then, and we can kind of try to believe it now, but the idea is the same today as it was then, and there is persecution, and there are things that are happening to people in the world today for the sake of the gospel, and they're losing their lives for it. So that is really what this is all about, that Jesus is saying, I need all of you. I can't just have a part of you because I gave everything for you. And he did, didn't he? And this power of Jesus is going to help our children and help our students and help us as students of God and of Jesus this year as we go in. And it applies to work. It applies to everyday life. It applies to family life. It applies to all of it. It's all Jesus. It's all him because he is life. Right? So let me give you some practical ways and some thoughts that I wrote down here that may help you to be able to practice and put these things into. It's kind of the same concept, but I wrote these thoughts down. First of all, when I'm getting ready for school, I would pray these words. Lord, I put you first today. Help me in my life to think about Jesus first. This is the prayer. Help me when I go through the day today to think about Jesus in my friendships, my schoolwork, my sports life, the clubs I join, the homework I prepare, my relationship with my parents or my children or my family, and in my own time with you each day. Help me, Lord, focus me this way. This is what I do. I pray first. Number two, pick up my cross. Lord, help me to remember how much you loved me. You took my sin away on the cross so that I would be happy and have a life that is free from fear of anything, including death. Help me, Lord, to appreciate this more and more as my day goes on, and help me to look at decisions that I make by consulting you in prayer. If someone wants me to do something that my parents don't approve of, help me to remember that I have taken up my cross. And I will sacrifice this, what I want to do, for what you want me to do. Most of all, Lord, help me to follow you. Help me to follow your voice. When I am tempted to do something wrong, help me to listen to your voice. Help me to follow you when I have questions or I don't know what to do. Help me to follow you when someone very popular at school or somewhere in the world tells me to do something they want me to do. And it seems at the time to be an easier way to go. Help me to follow Jesus. Help me. Help me to listen. Help me to listen as one who wants to be taught. So what is this thing following Jesus? Follow Jesus. We hear it all the time. Following Jesus. Stay close to him. Don't wander after Jesus so that you can see the shadow of him in the distance and you're kind of keeping up. Run up to him and get behind him and follow your footsteps in his footsteps. Don't be a Christian who is far away looking at the Savior, some distant spot in the distance, on the horizon. Don't lag behind. You may just get lost. You may just be taken away by something that tempts you to. Listen to him. How do we listen to God? What situations do we listen to God in? We listen to God through prayer. We listen to God through the Holy Spirit. We listen to God through his word. We listen to God through each other. Are you talking to people about Jesus? You need to begin. And if you're doing it, then continue doing it. He has to be on the lips that you have if you are a Christian. If you've been baptized and you said, I will follow Jesus the rest of my life, which I ask each person who is baptized here, I will follow Jesus the rest of my life, then you better do it. Because you have said to God, I will do it. And that needs to be in your heart. You can't just say, I said that so that I could get baptized. That means nothing. But you say, if you really believe it and you say, I'm going to follow him, then listen to him and follow him, what he says to you. And that, if that comes through your parents, you have to follow it. If that comes through your pastor, it comes through the leaders in your church, the teachers in your church, your parents or whoever it is, you have to follow the commands that are given to you. God has put us in charge of one another. And people also always say, what if they tell me something that's wrong for me or bad for me? I'm not talking about that, okay? Come on, you know better than that. That's an excuse. We're not talking about making up our own rules as we go along and trying to get away from the things. That's what the disciples were always doing. Jesus tells them what they need to do, and they'd say, well, that just doesn't sound really good, you know? I want it this way. And you say, no. You know, I remember our kids said no. But isn't that what we say to God? No. I don't want to do that. Well, listen, I'm sorry, but you have to do that. You're going to be this marshmallow that goes out into the workforce and people are not going to hire you. You want to talk practical? People are going to be looking for character in your jobs. Talk to your parents about it. Find out from them. Talk to anybody who's an adult. If you're a child here today and you want to know what it's like in the workforce, then just talk to them about it and say, what are the things that they look for? They look for someone who's teachable. Someone who will listen. Am I all right? They're looking for people that are going to be a team player. Someone who's going to work together well with other people. They're going to be looking for people that tell the truth. That are on time, right? I'm going to be there on time because I know that that's a part of the character of Christ. He wants me to be there, and I'm not going to lag behind, and I'm going to show that I'm taking my job seriously and all the people that I'm working with seriously, man. And you know why? Because Jesus taught me that. Not somebody else taught me that, but someone taught me who Jesus taught. And I learned that from them. And that's what these classes and all the things that we do throughout the year, that's why they're immensely valuable. I was saying the other day on the prayer call that having a Bible study is one of the foundational, most important things that exists in the human race. Do you believe that? It's not something that you have to drag yourself to or you feel like, oh, do I have to do this again? I am learning from God. About him and about life, and I need to be there. And if I'm complaining about it, I haven't understood what Jesus is saying here. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. There are concrete things that we have in the Bible that we lose along the way in life because we become church attenders and we learn these things and we say, well, we've done that and we've heard the It's not about that. That's the attitude of the world. It's about saying, God is my God, and I'm going to get up in the morning, and he gets up every morning with me, and I am going to have a listening ear for what I am taught that day. And you know what it's going to do? Helping the weary to be sustained. If you don't do that, then you're not doing your duty as a Christian to say, I am here as a representative of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to sustain people through him. Sustain. I know people have to stay indoors these days. I know that people are saying they have to hunker down. Did you ever hear the word hunkering down before this pandemic? I haven't. I'm going to hunker down today. You know what I'm, what are you going to do today? I'm going to hunker down. What does that mean? I'm going to hide. I'm going to keep myself from anything, right? Does that fit in with Christ? These people are seeking to kill me, and they want to put me on a cross, so I'm just going to hunker down. I mean, believe me, I understand the dangers that are going on with the pandemic and COVID, and it is important to be able to practice these kind of things that we want to, you know, look after our health and things like that. But hunkering down, man, I have a problem with that word. Maybe you can say, I'm staying inside, but I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray for this world and I'm going to do something like that. I can do that, but I'm not going to hunker down and just pretend like I'm just not, don't exist anymore. These are the kind of things that the world is teaching us. Do you see it? This is their teaching. What is the teaching we get here? Be bold. Be bold. Go out and spread the gospel to all nations. Give your life. Take up your cross. So what if you die? You have Christ. There was a man from the civil rights movement. He was one of the great leaders of the civil rights movement with Martin Luther King. And he was talking one time in this documentary. And they were talking to him about the fact that he was doing something that was really dangerous and it was bringing about all this change, you know, for the African Americans. And he was out there and people were, you know, the water was being sprayed at them from hoses, from fire hydrants. And then they had dogs being, you know, sent out to bite them and to do all this kind of stuff. Children being chased by dogs and unbelievable. And they said to him, were you afraid? And he said, of what? He said, of dying? And I love that. Because what he was saying is that the people, the African Americans, have been suffering too long and somebody has to do something. So why would I be afraid of dying? He understands. And that's the attitude that we need to have. Of dying? I'm afraid of dying? Jesus just said that he died for me so that I don't have to die. And that means that I can be with God. Christians are not afraid of dying. I know that some people have talked to me about that and said there is a fear of that. And you do get older and you start to think about life and you have that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dying for the sake of Christ. Listen to him. Do what he says. Love him. These are things that it means to love, to follow Jesus. Love Jesus. Do you love him? Love others. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Don't follow others. If there's one thing that I can remember from my youth, it was following the wrong crowd. And I was really upset when adults told me, don't follow the wrong crowd. They were absolutely right. And what did I do? I followed the wrong crowd. I started to hang around with people who had a different view on life. And what did it do? It brought turmoil to our family. Turmoil. In one obedient act, I could have changed the cosmic makeup of our family and brought my parents peace, and I wouldn't do it. One obedient act. Yes, I will do what you say. I won't go out tonight and do that. And it would transform that whole situation from one of strain and upset into peace. Don't follow others. Don't follow others unless they belong to Jesus. Then you can go with them and you can do those things. But be careful who you follow in life. Don't listen to others when they lead you astray. Ask questions. Ask questions. What are you going to be doing there tonight? Is there going to be any booze or drugs there tonight? Is there going to be anybody driving who is under the influence of drugs or alcohol tonight? What time is the party over? Are parents aware of this party? And do the parents have given permission for their house to be used for that party? You know what I'm talking about? Who's going to be at that party? Are there going to be any adults present at that party? Can I have the phone number of the people who are the adults that are going to be at that party? But then the fear of being judged by your peers comes in with that almighty strength. It seems at that time, if we ever ask something like that, then people are going to start to make fun of me. It's much, much braver and better for you to ask questions. Come back to God if you go astray. That's following Jesus. That's what grace and forgiveness is all about. I know I'm going kind of long, so let me just bring this to a close with some very practical things here, okay? Form a routine each day that you can read a devotional and pray. Form a routine. Just like you get up in the morning and you have another routine to get something to eat or do something else to prepare to go to school, form the routine and try your best not to break from that routine, even if it's just for 1 minute. Form the routine. And if your parents form the routine with your children, you do it, they will do it. We show an example of what is to be done, then people see it. Prepare yourself with verses that can help you to remember what Jesus has done for you. Prepare yourself with verses that help you to remember what Jesus has done to you. You don't have to read the whole Bible. Take some verses. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, but the grace of God is for all people, and Jesus died for all people. That's a truth to bring into your life that day to remind you, I'm a sinner, but I'm forgiven. Write down the verses from today, right? Write down these verses and read through those verses. Take up my cross. Do I have my cross? Yes, I got my cross. I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow Jesus. Okay? Begin to formulate in your heart and soul the great gift, indeed the advantage and the joy that you have in getting up every morning. Do you believe that? That every day is a gift, an advantage, and a joy that I have been given by God, my Creator. Begin to formulate in your heart through the power of God that you are the possessor of a great gift, an advantage, and a joy in approaching each new day. Then that your classmates, your colleagues, your teachers will know that there is someone you are following named Jesus. Tell them somehow, some way, that he is your Savior. And he is the reason for the smile on your face. He's the reason for your study skills and for your discipline. He is the one responsible for the hope that you possess. Begin to formulate in your heart and soul that attitude each day. begin to pray for your teachers, your classmates, your friends, your enemies, your principal, your board of education members, your superintendent. Begin to pray for them. Know them by name. Attend a board of education meeting. Get involved and know the people there so that you can pray for them. And tell them that you're praying for them. Tell the principal, I've got your back. I'm praying for you. There's a guy named Stanton who plays for the Yankees right now. He's a very streaky player, right? And he's like out in right field and the fans are all standing there and they're yelling all kinds of stuff. And the Yankees were doing great for a long time. And then suddenly everything went wrong for them and they're just on this big decline, except for last night. They won, thank goodness. But this guy is one of the great home run hitters of all time, right? How much do you think it would mean to him for someone to come up to him and say, I've got your back. Keep going. Don't give up. Because he's in this rut. He can't hit the ball. He used to hit a home run every other at bat. What would it mean to somebody who's going through a rough time that you know in your life that would receive a word from you of kindness and saying, I've got your back. I'm praying for you. And in fact, my church is praying for you. We're praying for the principals. We're praying for the superintendents. We're praying for the board of education. And we know you by name and we're going to keep praying for you. We may not agree with you all the time, but we appreciate your work and we're going to pray for you. How do you think that's going to feel when they start to say we can't have Christianity in the schools, when they have people who are coming up to them and saying, we've got your back, we're going to pray for you? And if you're wise, you will let us say what we need to say, because it doesn't come from us. It comes from God, who's the creator, and he gave you life, and indeed he gave you the position that you're in. You may not say that to them, but that's the truth. Pray for the people that are engaging your children. Pray for their sports coaches. Pray for the other colleagues that they have. Pray for your own lives, for your bosses, for your coworkers, for the people in our church. There's a lot of prayer going on, but there's so few people praying. I run out of things to say. I just listed about 25 here to pray for. That would take some time, right? So we have to get over this idea. I don't know what to pray. Pray distinctly for your lives. What is going on in your life? Pray for those things. Your kid is starting to do poorly in a subject. Pray. Pray. Engage. And look for a way in your school functions to bring your faith in Jesus Christ so that they will see his love, his power, his healing, his hope, and his peace. See church as a place that you are refreshed in the word of God and the community of Christ. How do you see church? Is it a place that you're refreshed in the word of God and the community of Christ? That is what would be God pleasing for us, brothers and sisters. A worldview is a very important concept, and we're going to be looking at that with the youth this semester. This year, but the Christian worldview is a very, very important part of our learning. G.K. Chesterton said, if a landlady or a landlord is considering someone who is going to be a tenant, it's important for them to know his income or her income, but it's still more important to know their philosophy. Life is not just about money and our financial situations. It is about our life philosophy. And people are looking at what we are about and who we're about. And that is important for our children to learn. Not just the ABCs, not just the math, not just the scientific formulas and all these different things, or learning how to play notes in a trumpet or whatever. It is teaching them values that are crucial to life. And those things translate into society and people look for them. What will they see when they see us? Lastly, think about Jesus, your relationship to him. Who is he? What does he mean to me? Who am I? And whose am I? Peter thought of Jesus as the Messiah who was there for his purpose. He was thinking about himself. So a suffering Messiah didn't fit that view. He wanted to bring Jesus back to his senses, but Jesus taught him. And that's what we need to do. Be taught by him. We have different ideas. We get astray. But let's come to our senses and begin to follow Jesus with listening ears and listening souls. Be that light in our schools, in our society, and expect these great things that he is going to do. Let us pray.